Need a new set of optics? For more than a decade, Riton Optics has been providing optic solutions for hunters and shooters of all types and disciplines. Check out their Primal line for those products geared more towards us hunters. From binoculars and spotting scopes to your basic 3-9 scopes and longer range crossover models, the Primal line from Riton was made for hunters. Learn more at RitonOptics.com. That's Riton, R-I-T-O-N, Optics.com.
This is the OKest Hunter Podcast. Never pass on shooter bucks. That's just me, the freezer. It's your tag. You hunt how you want. This is OKest Hunter.
Welcome to the OKS Hunter Podcast, coming at you from all over the place. So here in Wisconsin, we got Oconomowoc in the house, we got Lake Mills in the house, and we got West Bend in the house representing. Raise the roof, Derek. We're doing a pre-recording because I can't make it in the studio Tuesday, and if I can't make it in, I guess you guys could, but that would be weird.
Well, I mean, if you really want to trust us handling all those controls...
I could train you guys. We might
record the whole thing in robot voice, and that could be entertaining.
Yeah. It could be really fun. Who knows?
You could go down some real weird paths with that. I should do it right now. It's like if you're asking for permission on someone's property, you could just be like,
I'm here to ask if I can hunt your property.
Yeah, that's going to be a no for me, dog.
It's going to be a no for me, dog. We're brought to you by Half Rack. Half Rack is our presenting partner. Why they chose to do that with us? Those guys, like, reach out to their customer support and be like, I heard about you guys on the OHP podcast, and what the hell's going on? And see what they say. But 50% off if you... 15. I want to make sure I'm articulating that correctly. Not 50. 15% off with code OHP. Check it out. Did you guys see all the updates from Spartan Forge that dropped?
I just started looking through. I actually had to renew today.
Oh, all right.
And yeah, I had to renew my membership today. And I did not get to play around with it a whole lot.
I've seen lots of posts online about the LiDAR and people posting pictures of some pretty wild-looking maps, so I'm excited to play with it.
There's a ton, dude. There's a ton. I took a screenshot and some video screenshots. One of the screenshots I took was, like, the first screen that popped up when it was like, hey, there's some updates. You should probably take a look at these. And it was like the map legend, the number of things that you can slice on just the map legend. There's obviously so access permitted, no access, conditional. You got green, red, and yellow for those things. And that's if you're knocking on doors. So I think, you know, Derek, you knock on a lot of doors for turkey hunting. Greg, you knock on a couple doors here and there in farm country.
Degree. I've been using that feature. So I just kind of, it's just easier to pick out of the map, you know, from wide open distance. You know, when you're just looking at the big scheme of things, I can pick those green spots out that I have permission on.
It's pretty cool. And then there's obviously, like, ownership is private, but there's also like a pink color for a new owner. Like if someone just moved in, that's probably going to change your access if you don't know that person. So if the property has changed, if there's been a sale or something, I'm assuming they're getting this from, I don't know if it's MLS or wherever the plat book, and there's probably a lot of digital properties. I don't know how they do all that stuff, but yeah, there's lots of ways to slice BLM, federal, wilderness, state, you know, the different types of access trails. Then you have agricultural filters too. Like, what the hell is that word? Deciduous forest? Can someone explain to me what the heck that is?
Leafy trees, the trees that lose their leaves. Okay. Non-coniferous.
Non-coniferous. So coniferous is pine trees, deciduous is oaks and maples.
Okay, hold on. What is the first one? Non-coniferous is not pine tree, but then if deciduous is also leafy, isn't that the same? Aren't you saying the same thing?
No, so like I was just saying a deciduous is non-conifer. Like, it's not a pine tree. So anything not pine tree, no hemlocks, like Greg said, you're looking at like ash, maple, elm, oak, anything that's leafy that loses its leaves every year.
Yep.
Okay. Well, we're gonna need Bill, if you're listening at some point, we're gonna need a glossary of terms for this. But I think I understand grassland, wetlands, fruits, corn, wheat, etc.
You know,
root crops, mixed crops.
Who's for a guy who's a thesaurus with everything else in life? I would think you'd be able to grasp a hold of that.
Yeah, well, I'd have to spend some time with it. That's all. But yeah, whatever. Okay. Anyway, you pop it open and you get that out of the gate. And what happened to me is I loaded it up after the update, you know, and my maps weren't loading. It was just a black screen. So I could see everything else, but no map. And I reached out to support and I just had to log out and log back in. And it worked just great. So I should just share it with someone that moved in to Oconomowoc area nearby. They're on a piece of property that they can actually hunt. And they were showing me some pictures just on like Google. So I sent back, because I figured out where they were, and I sent back screenshots of where they live, but on Spartan Forge. He's like, holy shit, what app is this? What is this? How do you can see my trail? And he was like freaking out. He's like, that's the tree that I'm, that's the holy shit. And so he's kind of like really going gonzo with the UAV stuff. And I was doing like, oh, you want to see what was in the corn crop last year? Oh, look at that. Looks like it was beans. And so just, yeah, it's a very powerful app. Check it out. Use code OHP, 20% off. I'm giving them a little bit of room on the floor here just because of those updates, and it's exciting.
And that was a good tip, though, because on a lot of the forums, a lot of guys who just did the update trying to get the LiDAR were experiencing issues with the app. So anyone who has the app, if you just did the update, log out, log back in, because that seemed to be the fix for a lot of people. So before you dive down the hole of customer support, try that out. See if that does you any favors. Yeah.
And I didn't really mention LiDAR because we've been talking about that. But I looked at LiDAR in the area I hunt for gun because it is very hill, very bluff, lots of creeks, cutting through terrain, crevices. I've been very much so enjoying that because it's giving me a couple more tidbits. Like, I know the area pretty well, but I'm like, look at this little extra bench or this little knob I didn't see. And it's kind of cool. Like, it really is. The naked rat thing that I said a long time ago, I stand by the naked rat. You know, I don't know, Derek, if you heard that one, but I
don't know that one, but I'm interested.
It's just LiDAR is showing you the terrain with the topography and the slope angle. And it's just, it's no foliage at all whatsoever. So it just strips down. So it's like this gray, barren, desert-like, you know, view. But to me, I think it's like looking at like a furless rat or something, because it just, you can see every little wrinkle in that rat's fur. You would never see that with all that fur on there, but you shave it all off. Are you putting that broadhead on your tongue? What are you doing, Greg? Oh my God. You're dumber than the guys just that put their hands in crocodile mouths.
Just an animal.
He was a sword swallower in college. He's just reliving some of the glory days.
Oh, you're giving me a heart attack. Explain to your wife how you sliced your freaking tongue wide open.
Well, you got to explain to your wife how you sliced your hand open every year. Well,
everyone got to see it on video, actually. So that one's no explanation there. But that's what the whole thing is. But anyway, and then as you're out, the hunting season's about to turn over. So I'm really excited. Like, Go Wild activity at the Go Wild app, timetogowild.com, has really picked up. There's a lot of activity there. It's pretty wild. Log your time as you're doing that stuff and earn some points and save that money. And then we're all in Latitude saddles. Derek, I think you got one of the X-Wing platforms headed your way. And by your way, I think it's heading my way, and then I'll give it to you. So whenever that arrives, you'll be the only one on the OKS Hunter crew running a platform, because those things are just hard to come by. So I'm excited for you to get into that. I think Greg and I have other platforms that we're using, so we're hodgepodging a little bit. But I got the Latitude 2, the Method 2 setup that I am enjoying quite a bit. Got to shoot some arrows out of it and just kind of putzing around in the yard, kind of just at the bottom of the tree, nothing special, but just trying to get a little bit more comfortable here and there. Greg had me trying to shoot arrows and my kids were crawling on my car and running around the house. It was luckily no one got shot.
Luckily.
Yeah. So, when does it open up? The 16th, right?
16th on Saturday, man.
So, I mean, today's the 10th, so we have, a week, a hair less than a week here in Wisconsin. Where are you guys at?
Gregory, where are you at?
And where am I at? I'm right here in my basement. That's where I'm at.
Well, it looks like you're sharpening broadheads. It seems pretty darn prepared.
Well, you know, earlier we were kind of sharing messages back and forth. You know, you were shooting. I did some shooting. I had to get out and do some shooting. I had kind of a long week with work, so deer hunting has been on my mind, but it's reality check time, you know. It's right here, coming quick. We're 6 days away. When this airs, we'll be even closer, right? So
that's a good point.
Confident in my shooting. Confident I'll be able to climb up a tree. Got a few places picked out. When it comes to a target buck, I do not have one. I have no details on one, so that's going to be
Are you lying?
I'm not lying. I'm not lying about that. Trail cam pictures don't do anything for me. We all know this, right? I've every year I get some nice deer on camera, and I might have an encounter with one of them one time in the year, and I usually screw it up.
Okay.
So I have fun running the cameras, but I am not 100% confident in my ability to put any of those deer down. I'm going to go have fun. I'm going to go start filling my obligations, start filling my tags. And so that's probably going to be doe whacking.
Will you start there right away, early season?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm going to dust the cobwebs off.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm going to go, we'll see what my work schedule's like. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get out before season actually to check my cameras. And again, I'm not going to rely solely on what I see in those cameras, because things are going to change if they haven't changed already. A couple of the mobile cams I have out, they've been silent. Like nothing's going on. I even, you know, send signal to them to take a picture. There's nothing going on. So they are working. Batteries are good. All is well. It's just the deer aren't back there yet. Once some pressure gets in there, they'll be there.
But that's kind of how you intended to set up that way. You are trying to anticipate those moves, right?
Yeah. Try to anticipate if that is such a thing. We'll see. We'll see what happens back in there.
Okay, confidence is good. Shooting's comfortable. You're feeling solid there. Gear, you're always pretty squared away with your gear. You probably tightened up bolts and purchased new bolts and got some new nuts on some things, and you've done your homework there.
And yeah.
Got it all squared away.
Platform's all ready to go.
What kind of changes have you made to your setup this season from last season?
Well, like you and Derek, we got some pretty cool new sticks. So if there's one thing I would like to do is get those silenced before we go out. I don't know if that's going to happen, because if I go and order something, I'd be lucky if it shows up by the weekend. I've got some other materials I can put on there. I can hodgepodge something.
Get some hockey tape on it.
Yeah, I've got some hockey tape. So that's probably what's going on there.
Feel good about all that?
About as good as I can. It's just to keep things from going clang, right?
Yeah.
And they don't clang. I mean, they make a different noise, more of a hollow thump than they do a clang like an old aluminum stick would.
What about you, Derek?
Anything's better than metallic, but yeah, I did.
Yeah.
In the same boat as Greg there. I actually just put an order in. I got a roll of stealth strips. Yeah, I just ordered it like 2 days ago. So we'll see if it gets here. But I thought of doing the same, wrapping our sticks, because I definitely plan on using those carbon sticks this season and putting them to the test. My buddy Dave, fellow we talk about once in a while, he had bought a a bow hanger for one of his tree stands, the Sidekick, Lone Wolf Custom Gear Sidekick. He couldn't get it to sit the way he wanted, so he passed that off to me, which was pretty nice of him. So I put that on today, got that set up on my stand.
How'd that work?
Pretty good. It's like an extended one. So it's like the newer custom gear stands, I think, have like a port in the actual platform where you can put one bolt in and then you can rotate it. So it doesn't stick out the side all the time. You can rotate it. This was not that one, and I don't have the newer stand. I got the older one, but I was able to get it sorted out where I could do the same thing. So I got one bolt in. sticks out the side, so I can put my bow in there, and then I can rotate it flush to the front. So that's set up pretty good. Ooh.
That one's sharp enough. Yeah. That one's good.
Yeah, so Greg and I were shooting some arrows today and sending videos back and forth. I'm feeling pretty good about the bow. Shooting good. Broadheads I got to pick up this week. They're ordered. I got to stop in at Cabela's and pick them up. I haven't gone through clothes or any of the other gear stuff yet, but
yeah,
we'll figure out. That'll happen the night before.
Right. It kind of smells like a suitcase a little bit, but that'll be fine.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Things are fairly set. I've got a bunch of trail cameras out on a piece that I'm kind of focusing in on, and seems to be a lot of other people also focusing on that piece. There's a lot of action there, but I think the deer will be in there all season, so I'll be able to chase them around a little bit. So I got ideas, but not positive what's going on yet. Might try to sneak out one day this week and check a few of them that are in kind of spots I know I can get in and out pretty easy without messing stuff up. And then the idea is probably to make it out Saturday. I don't know if I'll go in the morning, but the afternoon for sure.
Yeah, I think mornings are tough early season. I mean, there's plenty of people that'll disagree, and you've probably had success because maybe their situation's different. But like, I know a lot of the places that where you and I are going to consider hunting, that's kind of a bedding area where they're probably in there already as we're walking, or they're making their way in as we're trying to make our way back in there without getting busted. And it's pretty difficult. So evenings are better for us.
Yeah. I got that false confidence for some earlier in the summer camera pulls and had some nice bucks that were making their way back into the bedding area in daylight. But I'm sure now that they're hardhorn, they're probably playing the game of, oh, I better go hang out in that bedding area for a good hour before it gets light first. So we'll see what's on the cameras, but it's probably going to be an evening hunt. And then Eric, our buddy Randy that we met last year.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, he and I have been in contact because he plans on hunting out in the same area. So one of the
smart
guys
of him to reach out to you and not me.
One of the guys that we met on the public last season, he and I have been talking and try to compare notes a little bit, and we might actually kind of hunt together opening night. He kind of showed me where he's thinking. I kind of showed him where I was thinking. So we were talking about the wind and how we can kind of help each other out. So kind of cool thing there that you meet somebody and work together instead of working against them.
It really is. It's way more beneficial for both parties at hand.
Well, it's pretty cool that he's one of the folks that we happen to run into, and he has an open and an abundant mindset towards hunting. I think that's a great mindset, because then you can, hey, I'm going to be here, and we're in the same area, and you guys have a shared interest, and you equally want a good outcome for one another and yourself. So it's just like, yeah, if you can inform each other, then it actually makes you a better hunter with more opportunities for success. Because if you were to be close-minded about it and off-putting and try to, like, you know, say, try to screw someone over, like, well, I'm going to not be here that day, and you lie to us. It's like not telling the doctor all the symptoms you had. Like, you try to tell the doctor you drank 20 beers or, you know, you can't lie. You got to be forthcoming so they can solve the problem or whatever you're, and if you're just going to omit, then they can't help you. And if you're going to lie to someone or point them a different direction or whatever, then you might not get the best outcome. Not to mention karma is going to come back and bite you in the butt. But I think that's pretty cool, because then it's like, you're not going to duplicate your efforts on the same property. You'll know how that property is being burned up from pressure. Not completely, because there's still a whole bunch of other hunters, but that's one step closer, one step better than you could have been if you didn't have that extra person to tell you and inform you some things.
But yeah, he and I were talking tonight. He went in and I think he put a camera up today, he said, and told me that he thought he was way back in a spot he wanted to hunt, and turning around looking for a tree to hang a camera in, and there was a camera pointed right at him. So you know, it helps us all. Like, I can inform him where I'm seeing pressure and cameras and guys, and that way we don't have to spend a whole bunch of time looking at areas that other people are already occupying and mess them up. So like you said, we're kind of working like-minded and trying to figure it out.
Yeah, it's cool. And then, but you wonder where the honesty starts to just trail off a little bit. Like, so I saw a huge one. Like, do you just not, like, do you not tell them about the, you know, if you see a, you know, 12 point drop time, like, do you be like, no, nah, man, I didn't see anything super good tonight.
Well, shit, I'm not even telling you guys if I see a 12 point drop
time. You know, yeah, but then that's like, I was fishing.
You don't tell anybody until that thing's on the ground.
Yeah, right.
I'm just kidding. I would tell you.
Man, eight guys saw that. Yeah, you tell me. I'm harmless. But, and I'm certainly not going to go in and try to like scoop in the, and then try to swoop in and take someone's buck. Not that I even have the capability to do so, but luck can play a good role for me. And maybe I could. I could get real lucky. Be like, well, Clark did it. He freaking got lucky. He shot it 20 miles away from where I saw it. How did that happen? It showed up. And anyway, I'm just talking trash.
No, but that's a good little point. Like the lucking into a deer, right? Like, that works really, really good when deer are moving a lot, late October, November.
Yeah.
Anybody can get into luck. But like, Eric, you were talking, you may not even hunt in September. And like, for guys who don't have the time to like scout and go look at spots beforehand, it's probably not a horrible call because the deer are not moving far in September. And if you are hunting public and you don't have a great food source right next to you, I mean, you're going to really have to do a lot of scouting and homework to try to figure out what in the heck to do. Otherwise, you might just be like burning time that you could have saved up and used later in the year when maybe there was more luck to be found.
That, yeah, it's funny because we talked about this with Kevin Vistason. We talked about this with working class guys and this reality check of like, what's your plan? Well, my plan is to have fun. Oh, okay, great. Ha ha ha. But no, like really, because I haven't had any time to, and that's not entirely true, but I haven't put forth the time. This is so man, I read a lot of books, Greg, to your point about the thesaurus stuff, but there's this new terminology I'm coming to grips with that I'm still not totally on board with, but it's this Einstein time. Einstein said time comes from you, not the other way around. And he talks about relativity and stuff. So like I could certainly make time, and it's a really weird concept. I actually don't know that I like it completely. I'm like, yeah, bullshit, but okay. And the whole thing is like, well, if I put my hand on a hot stove, that's going to feel like a very, very long time. But if I spend time with my kids, it's going to feel like I didn't have enough time. And so like, it really does come from you. So could I put more time in the deer woods? You never feel like you have enough time. I think you could put in 10,000 hours and you feel like it wouldn't be enough because you want more of that time. Just like you want more time with your kids. I don't want time at work. I don't want my hand on a hot burner. I don't want to be, you know, pooping out the jalapeno poppers that I had during the Packer game tomorrow. That's going to be painful. I want that time to end immediately.
Wow, that's more information when everybody needed.
But to that end, I didn't have a ton of the time that I wanted to put into it. And therefore, to Derek's point, because I don't have any of that intel, that homework, that scouting, I'd be going in like more blind than normal. And it's early season. There's still mosquitoes. There's some misery with that. It's hot. There's food everywhere for these animals. I don't have anything patterned. So I think I could save all those brownie points. And by, you know, late October, early November, when I've had most of my luck, my wife would be like, you know what? You haven't hunted all season. You should go. And if you want to talk about success, if I can get my wife to tell me I should go, that is a new level of achievement. And I think that's what I'm aiming for this season.
It's like a Jedi mind trick right there. I like it.
There it is. That's my goal. My goal is to authentically have my, like, what's the other saying? Like, if you want someone to take their coat off, you can't just, you know, get a leaf blower and blow it off of them. You got to make them feel warm and cozy and then they want to take it off. Like, I want my wife to say that on her own. I don't want to coax her into saying it. Just like being
She'll
an exemplar. Just like being an exemplar. Like, I don't want anyone to do what I'm doing because I say I'm doing it. I want people to just watch what I'm doing at a high level and be like, wow, I'm inspired. I had some guy tell me that. He said, I ran 8 miles because I saw you ran 10. And he told me in person, because I happened to see him at like a gathering. And I was like, had I never seen me, I wouldn't have ever known that. But he's like, oh, dude, no, you inspired me to run because you were running all summer and I wanted to do it too. I felt like I should be doing it. I was like, oh, that's it right there. That's the exemplar mentality. I can't be an exemplar for my wife. It doesn't work. But if I could get her to say that by just moping around all season.
I love that Eric has a philosophy behind this.
It's some sort of...
And Greg is straight up realism. She's never going to say that.
I don't know.
It ain't happening, dude. No.
Well, then, Greg, if we should throw down a
you're
bet. Because if it happens,
you're going to be sitting around on the couch, moping like a puppy dog, looking outside, waiting for Master to come home. And Master ain't coming home for you, buddy. He just ain't.
Dude, if I literally played my season like that.
I wonder what the deer are doing right now. I don't know. But you got stuff to do around here, Eric. So you better pick it up and get to cleaning over there.
I wonder what she would do. I wonder what she would do if I literally didn't do it and didn't hunt. Like, and just didn't even say shit about it. I wonder if she'd be like, what?
She'd probably be a little happier come November.
That's it. That's it. I think, you know, if I can... have a happier. I mean, do you remember the question when Jace asked, which by the way, I forgot to interviews last week when you guys were here. That was dumb because we should have been doing that.
I was going to ask you what the scoop was with that.
Yeah. But I got to be doing it. We got to do just like we did last year. But the remember the question when he said, and this is on one of the episodes, like, how's your rut home life? And Derek looked like, I swear to God, Derek, it looked like you're going to punch him in the face. You're like, my what? Like, cause you and your wife were just, you were just explaining, like, man, it's not going great. Like, and then he asks you that question. You're like, what's wrong with you? I just told you. It's not. Why would you ask me that publicly?
But to your point, Eric, it wasn't going great because I wasn't waiting for her to ask me to go. And I was just going. And maybe it would work better if I had not gone and then waited for her to be like, oh, you really need to spend some tree stand therapy time by yourself.
Yeah, yeah. But I do become a lot happier. But so this is it. This is it. Like, so I get happier because I'm like, you know, in the woods, I'm resetting and it's all great. I'm fulfilling my soul. I'm obviously doing the thing that I love. I'm getting breaks from the kids from work. Meanwhile, my wife is going the opposite direction. It's getting worse for her. She's getting less happy, less time for herself, less everything because I'm the one over consuming. So then it's like imbalanced. And yeah, but it's, in theory, it all sounds great. What likely has happened, my wife tells me will happen, is that what does happen is a sickness comes over me and I literally cannot help myself. And suddenly it's like, ooh, that cold front. I gotta go. Can I go? And like a kid with a mom, I'm like, can I go? And I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna go. You got this, right? Like I have to.
It's the cold front. It's a cold front.
Crazy. Cause then you get FOMO, fear of missing October. No, fear of missing out. Like you get so much FOMO that you can't even like the. If you think the deer are moving and you're not out there, you're like, well, then it's not going to happen. I need to be out there. I only get to do this once a year. It's going to be a whole nother year before this opportunity exists. So my shit's not like your guys's. I got some work to do. And quite frankly, at some point I want to shop for a new pack. I really like my pack. I like it a lot. It's the XOP. I forget what it's called. Greg probably knows what it's called.
Yeah. I don't remember what pack that is, because they've changed it since.
It's nice. It's very, very nice. It's got a lot of great functionality, and the quality and the durability is really good. Like, the zippers are smooth, easy, quiet. They're durable enough. They're not like breaking. I've bought a lot of packs from big box stores that just they're not good at all. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about. And this one's good. And the, like, the front flap opens all the way open, like completely, like it could just dump all the way out. And it's got little clips to clip like your platform on, your sticks, whatever. I think it's great. However, I now that I've got these new sticks, I don't know how I want to piece it all together. And I feel like I want a bigger bag that could fit it inside the bag, at least the platform. So I don't know. I do have backpack straps for my platform too, but that feels awkward. Like, I don't want to put that on my back and then my pack on my back. That's not
a because you have a, you've got a bigger platform, don't you?
It's So I mean, I think platforms are relatively.
Dude, that thing's half of a 0.5. It's big.
It doesn't. It's not so big, but it is bigger. But I now that I have it, I've been hunting out of it. Hunting out of it once it's, you know, cam locked to the tree. It's great. Like, I don't know that I would want something super small. Like, I initially thought I did. And then I ended up getting that because I needed something for season. The smaller one wasn't ready yet. And so I'm just making that work for me pretty well. I like it. I like it. It's light. It's good. It sticks to the tree. Like, it's actually pretty dangerous. Like, you don't want to hit your ankle on that damn thing. It'll pierce your, it'll fuck you up, man.
Those things are sharp as hell.
Yeah. But that's the Lone Wolf Custom Gear Predator platform, I think, right? Predator saddle platform? It's a saddle platform. I don't know what they call it. I don't know what they call their saddle. It's the bigger one.
That's the Kunert's Ambush.
Ambush. Is that what it is? Yeah. Thanks, Greg.
Yep.
Don't listen to me. But I do like it, and I'm trying to figure out how to piece this all together now, because I was like last season, you guys, you'd be surprised. I'm the okayest hunter. I do everything really hard. I'm mostly Polish, you know, when it comes down to it. My mom's last name is ending in a ski. So like, it's in my blood. I will do everything the hard way. But that said, I got myself to a pretty efficient place with my gear, and I did get pretty quiet with everything, which I was proud of. And it was my little system. It wasn't a flawless system. Not everything worked in concert together, but I had it working pretty good for what I'm doing. So this year I'm feeling like I'm a little out of whack, and I'm not sure how I want to hold the latitude sticks together amongst themselves. I don't know how I want to hold them onto the pack. I'm not trying to spend a bunch of money on a new pack, but I'm also curious. I don't even know. I've never entered the world of packs. Like, there's Mystery Ranch, there's Kuyu, Kafaru, there's probably other
brands. Heroes Stock. Yeah, Mystery Ranch makes the Treehouse series, which a lot of guys like. Everly Stock Bandit has been a pretty popular model for a lot of guys carrying the same gear we are.
There's one,
but it's about $140 to buy it.
That's not terrible. That's not terrible. $140 for a pack. That seems actually pretty affordable. I'm surprised. The one that I saw recently was from Kafaru, the crossover kit. Have you guys seen this one?
No.
It's really seemingly designed for a Western setup, but it's saying like it's also highly capable for whitetail. Like, if you're going to pack a deer or an elk out, it can do that. But because it can do that, it actually lends itself really well for the whitetail world. And we're not backed by these guys. I'm just talking about it. It, like, that fold out compartment where you would have your meat storage is where you could put your sticks and your platform. So it's sandwiched between bag and another part of the bag. And then there's nothing on the outside bulking out and sticking out for metal to clank on branches. So you're kind of protecting it to like, it's like a sandwich. Like, the platform and sticks then become the meat of and cheese of the sandwich. So I'm looking at, like, that's the kind of bag I think I want, is one that can do something like that. But I don't know.
Meats and cheeses, huh?
Mm-hmm. I want a sandwich bag.
You need some of those in your bag for sure.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's talk about that. Did you guys see the new design that's dropping? The all day sit?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if I should say all day sit or all day hunt, by the way. I think people get it, but I was like, maybe I shouldn't be more explicit about what I'm trying to say here. All
I think
day
the
hunt.
right people get it.
Because I say all day sit. I don't say all day hunt. What do you guys say when you're hunting all day? It's an all day sit. You're sitting all day. That's right. Or is it an all day hunt?
I think I say sit.
Sit works.
And then I thought our buddy Good Sit.
Thank you for mentioning
which
that.
Which is another product I'm looking at.
That's another new thing that I'm using this year is our buddy Brian that I met last year down in Illinois. Been doing an awesome job getting himself out there. He's been on tons of podcasts. But, yes. I'm using some of his Good Sit Productions mobile stuff. So I just ordered, he's got like a GoPro mount. Since we got the GoPro that goes like up above you.
Yep.
Nice little paracord, super simple. And I'm using a couple of his trail camera mounts, the elevated mounts that angle down. And I tell you what, usually I don't like finicking with that kind of stuff and I just do what I do. But those things were freaking slick. Setting those up, very nice.
I ordered a bow hanger from him, so I'm going to try that. Yeah, we're going to see how that works.
Cool.
Interesting. Yeah, I was browsing his site today because I was trying to find some other ways to hold the latitude sticks together. And it looks like what he has is paracord. It goes around the little clips that you'd do the same way you'd set up on our tree, but then you're only putting pressure on the middle. I don't know how tight you can make that, like, because those things can, they stack great, but I want ways to like cinch them down at the top and the bottom too. So I almost wonder, and I was looking at Latitude's website, and I didn't notice, or at least I couldn't find, and I can reach out to them and ask too, is they have that when you buy the sticks, they give you that little rubberized belt, if you will, right?
Yep.
And there's one of them, and it does its job, but it's one. I'm like, well, can I just buy a couple more of those? And they didn't have just those by themselves. So I actually want to message them, be like, can you guys, how do I get just these? Or can I find something like that somewhere else?
I don't remember what those are called. I want to say they're like, you can buy them, they're like bulldog straps or something like that. But some company makes those. You
know, there's a company out there that makes them, yeah.
Different sizes, widths, and, you know, for different amounts of pressure. And then you got
those,
you're gonna put on them.
Those rubberized, coated, giant twisty ties. You know, I know
people use those too. Yeah, the Night Eyes. But Night Eyes gear ties, they work in a pinch, but I don't think they're going to hold long term. Especially if you're walking, things are bouncing, they'll loosen up.
Right. They don't cinch per se, but I think it's a nice to have tool in your toolkit for various things.
Right.
I forget what I use mine for. I think I gave one. I think I got my dad some of those at some point. My wife's like, "That's what you're getting your dad." I'm like, "No, you don't understand. This is a great gift."
Some cases it could be a third hand up in the tree. It's pretty handy to have them.
Yeah.
Now, Greg, Eric was talking about his pack before. You run a backpack, don't you?
Well, you were running like a Molly pack or something. Like, you got like, did you go to Sherpa's and some military surplus sort of get that?
No, that was an online purchase. I bought the bag. I had the harness already, the shoulder straps already for tree stand. Well, I got rid of the tree stand and kept the harness the shoulder pads, and so I bought a Molly 2 rucksack, and then they make a frame that goes inside of it, a poly frame. So I have that, and that's way too big, honestly. Like, it's fine for an all day sit with a whole pack of Little Debbies, you know, and maybe a hamburger and a couple of other sandwiches. Mm. Right, throw a side order of fries in that thing and you'd still be okay.
You can fit all your warming layers in there too, right? When you're walking in, you can get your puffy jacket. Totally. And...
yeah, but it's not a quiet pack, you know? Like, if you walk through brush and something slaps that thing, it will make noise. It's better for rucking. That's what I was using for rucking, throwing a 20-pound weight in it, 30-pound weight in it, and walking around on the paths out here. But it's really not the best for deer hunting. I got an old Gander Mountain pack, a backpack with a bunch of webbing on it, and I can fit my sticks on it. My platform will probably fit inside of it, but I'm almost better off putting those sticks inside of it and stacking them in there.
Have you seen this one? I don't know. I'm looking at, like, so I don't know if you guys know this, but Sitka has packs. And they're
But I got to take out a mortgage on my cardboard box.
I know, but at that point, like, packs are all fairly expensive. So at that price level, like, suddenly Sitka becomes some sort of consideration because they have their Fanatic pack, which is like it's all dead quiet. But I'm like, well, can it get wet? I imagine it could because it's outdoors.
What's it made of?
It's made out of like this silent dude. It's literally.
Is it a Berber like that? I don't know, sweater material almost. If that's the case, I don't want it because that's going to be a burn magnet everywhere I go.
Yeah, you have to look at it. They're because they've thought of like everything that you can put in this damn thing. You know, it's crazy. But then I've seen like a Mystery Ranch pack. It's about the same price. You're looking at $260 for some of these. 240, ooh. 260, 200, ooh. 180. And I'm like, is that what it costs for a nice pack? Like, I've never had to purchase this before.
The Bandit pack from Everly Stock sounds about the best option for what we're trying to do. It's Everly, not super expensive.
How much
expensive.
Is it?
What is it?
It's like $140.
Okay.
See, I'm cheap, and I am a minimalist when it comes to that.
That's why I'm looking at going, I already have this Gander Mountain pack. Is it waterproof? No. Is it quiet? Fairly quiet. Does it have all the straps I need on it? Almost. It'll work for now. As much as I would love to spend money on a nicer pack,
I can't stand wearing backpacks just because I'm just like a hot guy. Like,
dude, back like is always sweaty.
But I would just get so sweaty. So, like, I've always done fanny packs, and I've got, I think it's like an Alps called like Little Bear. They make a Little Bear and a Big Bear. And the Little Bear was on Camel Fire one day for like $45. And I got the shoulder straps to go with it. So, like, they go over so you can hold stuff. you know, a little bit more. And then I just sewed extra straps because there's like buckle straps under the fanny pack. You can put your clothes, strap them up, and then I can put my sticks on top, strap those up. So I got all kinds of buckles on that sucker, but it keeps my back open. And the pack itself is only like this big. I can fit my video camera in there, my release, my rangefinder.
Okay.
So that's about it. You sweet talked the home ec teacher into sewing some stuff on there for you.
Oh no, no, no.
You dirty old sailor, you.
I should have done that. You should see my sew job, Greg, here. Here's what I did. I used some 40-pound spider wire.
Oh, there you go.
And I sewed that sucker on there. So it's sewed together with fishing line.
Hey man. Necessity is the mother of all invention.
I do the Kefaru stuff is like I think the lowest pack you have is 200. Awesome. It's 200. The lowest price pack is 200. Yeah. It goes, dude, the one it's I was awesome referencing, stuff, but I had no frame reference, $1,500. That's a no, dog.
That's all made in America. I mean,
yeah, $1,500, but it's a kit. It's a system. It's a lot of the stuff is for the Western hunter.
Exactly.
So, but one thing I saw they have here, they have a cargo net. And so I'm like, oh, that's what if I were to like slap a cargo net of some sort, not theirs, because that said sold on, it's expensive. I wonder if I could just slap something like that on the bag I have to like deal with the stuff I'm looking to deal with. That I'm just tell you what, I'm just gonna go to Ace and buy a couple bungee cords and we'll just be done with it.
Well, I think you use like the strap they give you with those carbon sticks in the middle, right? You strap them. Yep. If you had a pack that had a vertical, you know, like a buckle that went horizontal up top and a buckle that went horizontal on the outside or on the side of it that you can cinch down to keep the top and bottom tight, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. There are some cheap packs that feature that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I didn't mean to make this a dialogue about, I don't want to go all in on packs here because it's not going to happen this year anyways. Like I'm gonna have to just like jerry-rig this
setup for the season. Here we are.
Yeah. But that's the kind of stuff like you talk about systems and setups and gear, and you got to get comfortable with your stuff. You got to feel confident with your setup so you can go in and like recreate these. Because what I learned last season or two seasons ago, was this whole concept of like micro movements. That was a new concept to me. It's so funny. I've been a mobile hunter my entire hunting life. I've been a mobile hunter without realizing it. What are you in the bathroom? What are you doing, Greg?
No,
don't ask.
You're talking about micro movements and wanking under the covers over there.
That was before we were recording, but that's okay. No micro movements. Like people, you tear down and set up inside of the same hunt to make a move. And that was like a new thought to me that I was like, holy shit, people actually do that. Cause it's always been such a pain and so difficult for me to get up into a tree and out of a tree that it was like, that was never even a thought that occurred. And so now that I got this really efficient setup, I'm like, oh, I might get down and set up a little bit closer, make a small adjustment within the same hunt. And if you're not feeling great with your gear and if you're hunting public land, cause if you're a private, like maybe you got a stationary setup and you're good to go, like you got your spots or whatever. But in public, if you're doing that kind of stuff, it's like you want to be as efficient as possible and quiet. And like, and I tell you that, dude, Murphy's Law is all around me when I'm in the woods. Like I will, anything that I can F up, I will F up. So I'm not feeling super confident about my shit this year right now. Like I'm like, I've not had, you know, I don't know, enough time to like feel real good about it. But also once I get that time, I usually can figure it out pretty quick. I just got to sit down and do it. And it's hard when you got kids running around, buzzing your ears, grabbing your stuff. Like my kids are grabbing crow calls and squirrel calls. Next thing you know, it's like they're running around like a bunch of literal animals. And I'm like, okay, now they've taken half of the stuff I had laid out in the driveway and I don't know where anything is anymore. So it's really hard.
You made it a free for all when you brought your pack right in there. So,
but that's it. I have no other opportunities.
They were waiting for it.
Like we don't. Here's the thing: no one wants to babysit three children. No one wants to do that, and I don't expect anyone that would want to. And I also don't. I don't want to wish it on. So I'm not going to throw my three kids onto another adult human. And I can only tax my wife so much, and we can only tax our mother-in-law so much. You know, it's just like there's just not that many folks that are nearby that are willing, able, capable, and have a desire. Not to mention it's expensive if we were to really get into it. I'm not trying to do that either. So you got to just make the time when you have it with your little ones running around. And then they just become part of the whole situation. they're just so damn young that they're chaos.
Organizing anything with those little minions around is very difficult. I can attest that. I mean, things are everywhere in drawers they don't belong. And half the time it's not even them. It's me putting something down, trying to get them off the roof.
Well, then you forget. You're so right. That's what it was.
But I'll blame them. Yeah. I'll blame them.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Greg grabbed a pack. I saw you. That's what you're doing.
Yeah. So mine has one middle strap right here across the back. And then it's got two on the bottom that I can actually crisscross.
Okay.
Across nice. The bottom of that stick.
So you're so like your sticks aren't clanking around well. Too I much?
Well, I only have one stick on here, so I'll let you know how it goes with a stack of three. But honestly, I don't see how they're going to clank around a ton once I get them all stacked in there. We'll find out.
Yeah, I'd like to see. That's what I'm curious about, how people are using these things. And everyone's got, because you're, Most people aren't buying into a system out of the gate. Like we've been either hand me down things, no. And you've slowly purchased things every season. You buy one new arsenal, one new thing, one new whatever, and then over time you start to get all your stuff. But it's pretty rare that you just step into it in one foul swoop with this perfect system. So you are everyone's like reinventing their own wheels a little bit. Like the wheel's been invented. We're just kind of making iterations as a collective. So you look at like some of these Facebook groups or the folks on Go Wild and how do you do this or how do you do that? There's 1,000 ways that you could do it. And so you're just picking out like, okay, what's the closest thing to what I have? And how did this other person do this thing with that stuff? And it's tricky because everyone has different things. There's so many different products on the market for all of these. Look at the packs. We just list off several. We don't even know what the hell's going on there. Everyone's several sticks or several platforms. The three of us are running different platforms collectively. Like everyone's got a different way of doing this stuff. So it's all
on. Yeah. It's just fun to figure out too.
Yeah, correct. That's the other thing. I mean, that's why I'm saying, you're not just going to like blow your whole load or your whole wad on like, I'm going to buy. If you give me $5,000, I don't know if I could system my way into it. You know what I mean?
It's crazy what the stuff costs, but I mean, I always justify it as, if you're going to put it to use and beat the hell out of it, and it's going to, you know,
buy good stuff right away,
not just going to hang in your garage and you're going to say, well, I wish I, you know, blah, blah, blah. If you're going to use it, then yeah. It's worth it. Like I invested the first close to system I ever bought was that custom gear. I bought the stand and the sticks that went with it. And it was expensive, but man, I feel like I've already got my money's worth out of it in a couple seasons.
Yeah. When you got that, yeah, was that 2 years ago?
It fits together nice.
Yeah, I think so.
I remember because that was when we were just getting the drywall up in the studio here. And I think I have a picture of Dane sitting there because we were out in the front yard before we were recording, checking it out. And you put it on the tree and the pine tree in the front yard. And I was like, oh, yeah, that looks cool. Look at that. Is that what you're still using, by and large, is those sticks? Or that's what you're using last season?
Well, I've been using that pretty much as my go-to. And then the saddle stuff. Here and there when I'm going to a spot where I know the saddle would work better, then I'll bring the saddle. But that stand is on my back most of the time.
It's cool. So then with the stand on your back, then are you clipping a backpack on the back of the stand? Are you using a fanny pack? Because you got to bring some gear with you.
Yeah, so that stand's got that seat that folds out and locks in. Yep. So it's like a shelf. So I sit my fanny pack right on top of there. Sometimes I'll just set the sticks across or lace them up, set the fanny pack on, and then I'll just put the fanny pack, the waist belt, through the edge of the stand, and that acts as like my waistband or my waistband for the stand. So it's like sitting up on your hips a little bit. Then I got my shoulder strap. So it actually works out pretty slick.
That's nice. I know when I was with Greg, you know, a couple seasons ago, and Greg was lending me his Lone Wolf Alpha or whatever it was called.
Which is I no longer have.
With the sticks, the sticks that have like the alternating, you know, they're not double steps. Yep. They're the single steps.
Yeah, the old school Lone Wolf steps.
When I got those, I had those sticks and not the stand, so I didn't have it as the system when I was even younger. My dad got those sticks for me, and I was like, that was my first real piece of like legit hunting gear. And I was like, holy shit, this is a stick. You guys got to realize I was using rope these weird rope L hook things. I was climbing a tree, one of those at a time.
Cranfords?
I don't know.
I've talked about these.
Yeah, they're like a you know, cinch knot. You just put it around, wrap around tree, cinch it up. And then that was 1 foot, and I had to go all the way up. So, you know, I had to put, I had a satchel of these things. And in the winter, the rope would get cold, and it would clump together. It'd be a tangled mess. It was a damn nightmare. So when I got those sticks, I was like, holy shit, I can get 20 feet high with three straps will get me there. I was like blown away. But when I was going with you with the system part of that same iteration, the single step sticks, I think you have a picture of me walking through the swamp. I hated that on my back, hated it. I felt like I was so not nimble and not like ready to go. I was so like, I don't know what to call it. I just felt clunky and big.
Felt a little top heavy.
Not very mobile. So like, here you are, you're this mobile hunter, but I was like, well, not really. Certainly wasn't minimalist. It was like a giant turtle trying to walk through the woods. So I like my stuff now because I just have like one small pack and it's
things
all
have
there.
Come a long way.
Yes.
Things have come a long way.
Hey, Derek.
Hey, sorry about that. Turns out my battery is dying quickly, so I was texting the wife, hey, emergency charger run, please. Can you grab one for me?
How do you get your, can you plug your headphones in the same time while it's charging?
No, I'll just have to unplug my headphones and go.
I think that'll still work. That'll work fine.
Yeah.
Think the audio will be garbage?
Nah. The mic's on the headphones run pretty high.
It'll be okay.
the mics on those headphones run really hot. I think the audio will probably be just fine. But cool. No, I don't know. Like, season's here. Am I excited? Hell yeah, I'm excited, man. I can't wait. But I'm also gonna try to do this a little different this season. So I'm hoping luck's gonna play a big role for me. And I don't even know where I'm gonna be hunting, guys. I have no clue where I'm gonna go. I didn't get the permission to the conservancy. I got that notification a week or two ago. So no conservancy properties for me.
I was going to ask you about that.
Did you get it?
No, I didn't apply.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I had you muted.
I didn't apply for it. Did you? Did your dad get it?
Yeah, we both applied. I actually owe him some money. And no, we didn't get it. Nope.
Sorry, dude.
Yeah, they have other properties that you don't need the permit for. And I just don't know how many hunters know that you even need a permit for any of them. So I'm sure, I feel like they're just full on access anyways. But my dad's hunted some of the other properties they have without the special access pass or whatever you want to call it, permit, and has seen nice bucks. Like, has seen good deer. So it's kind of cool. What you got going on back there?
It's one of my bucks just hanging out.
Looks like you got some antlers. Looks like some, some AI art.
The kids got out of bed.
Listen.
Big kid got out of bed.
If you saw this though, would you let it go? Or would you let it wait 1 year?
I would shoot it. I would shoot it.
This is a trick question.
Hey, have fun, gentlemen.
All right, thank you.
It's not our first podcast. It's okay. That's the other thing too. Like, you can't tell your wife you're passing on deer.
No.
Like, oh no, I just didn't see any.
Wait, you had the chance to shoot one and end this misery and you didn't?
Uh-huh.
And deer,
you're never going again.
You're hunting two states, so you have opportunity at, you know, a couple of bucks this season, right? I mean, potentially. Of course.
Yeah.
Opportunity, so, yes.
Opportunity. Maybe we'll see, but we're pretty optimistic. Me and two of my good buddies are going to go down and hunt the public in Illinois. We're going early season this year, so Illinois is one of the states that opens October 1. I think we might be there for the opener, but then we're going to wait a few days, and that second weekend we're going to spend a few days down there trying to make something happen early season. So that'll be fun. That'll be really fun. I haven't really done an early season trip in quite a long time since Nebraska. I think, Greg, you and I were talking about that a little bit the other day, and it'd be fun to do something like that again.
It would be.
kind of changes things when it's early season like that. That's why I was trying to get those stealth strips on those carbon sticks as soon as possible, because you're just trying to get a lot closer to where you think the deer are living, because they're not traveling far, especially if that weather is warm. If it's over 70, you got to be pretty freaking tight to where they're at to have any luck.
Did you get the medium-sized stealth strips, by the way? Because the large is
I think I got the medium ones.
How many did you get? Did you get three? Is that going to get your sticks covered, or what do you think?
It was a 60-inch long roll by, like, 3.5 inches wide, maybe. So
that should be plenty wide to cover at least the front and sides. The front and sides of the sticks.
So as long as you got the front and the sides was my thought. The back.
Yeah, because covered, the back doesn't.
Put the front of one on the back of the other one. And 60 inches long should have plenty of length there. I mean, 8 inches long, so.
Yep.
Yeah, do you think one thing, one roll ought to do the trick?
I mean, it never hurts to have a little extra, but I think one roll is all I bought.
That stuff's sticky, man. Yeah, you mess it up and it's hard to undo. You got to. So I imagine you're going to be cutting it.
It gives you.
Customize it, right?
It gives you 20 inches per stick, and the sticks are 17 inches top to bottom. So you got a little room for overlap, top and bottom. I think you'd be fine.
And I just bought it straight from Stealth Outdoors, but I see that Latitude on their website sells you a little Stealth Outdoors kit for the for their carbon stick. So it's got whatever X amount to try to cover it up. However, I didn't really see what their layout was, but I'm sure that's a good option too.
Yeah, because it's got they probably have a good awareness of the touch points. And so you wouldn't want to get the back of all of them because it's up on the tree. But while you stack the sticks, there may be some points where the sticks touch one another. And I think you do want the back in some cases.
Well, no, they touch front to back. So if you have the front of one stick hitting the back of the other, you're covered. They're fine.
Oh, maybe you're right. I don't know. I'm probably overthinking it, guys.
That was kind of my thought when buying the roll. I was like, well, as long as I got enough to cover the front of everyone, you're stacking them front to back. So
yeah,
they do have the kit on the Latitude site. It says $7. And what I'm not sure is if it's, each kit covers exactly one stick.
So
yeah, that's not bad, dude. Seven, that's 21 bucks to get your six covered. I think that's probably. If you go right to Stealth Outdoors and you want to do it all your own and cut it all down to the right size and so forth, you're going to be pushing it with that one roll. So if you get two, you're right around the same price. So if it saves you some headache, I think that's pretty cool. Interesting.
Yeah.
Because, Stealth has different kits for other sticks on their site, but I was like, I wasn't seeing Latitude. I didn't realize Latitude brought that over. Things I should know as one of our partners. But I know now, so it's okay. We're talking about it.
Yeah.
It's totally great.
That's what it's about. Yeah, so I'm going to definitely try to get out in Wisconsin a few times before we go on the Illinois trip. I just want to run through the motions and, sit in a stand and, go through the motions a little bit, kind of get back in the swing of things before we get down there. And then it's going to be like rubber hitting the road. We're going to be trying to make a lot happen in a short amount of time, probably in really hot weather. So it'd be a miracle if we put one down, but there's always a chance.
There's always a chance. I mean, you never know. You just never know. I mean, like, deer do deer things, and other things push deer around. Dogs, coyotes, neighbors, like cars. There's so many other factors and variables, and who knows? Like, you just never know what you're going to come across. That's why it's so fun. You get to do all this homework research and obsess over something for years on end, and then you get to go try your hand at it and like go play the chess game that you've been reading about for the last 9 months or whatever it's been. And now you're like, I can actually try all this stuff out. And it's not a chess game because that's a controlled environment. This is harder than chess. It'd be like, deer hunting's probably more like Jumanji than it is chess.
Well, yeah, I saw the mosquitoes in Jumanji, and that's about par for the course.
Oh, wait, there's a bee nest here. Oh, there's spider webs I'm walking into. Oh, I fell down this ditch. Oh, I fell into a marsh. I got my boots wrecked. Oh, I dropped my thing on my. Like, there's 1,000 things. If this would make like a deer hunting game, but could you imagine if it were more like Jumanji And it's like, oh, nope, you forgot your toilet paper. Like, you're going to go find a leaf. Now you got poison ivy on your ass. Like, it could get ugly.
My poison ivy came back, by the way.
How is that possible? Did you put some clothes on that and still had it or something?
I don't know, but the doctor told me it's real hard to get rid of. So I'm back on my second round of steroids.
Oh, man, steroids. You got to feel real good.
You're on pill form?
I have like a topical cream, but I'm taking, same exact dose of pills for the next 12 days.
The topical cream does nothing. It might relieve a little bit of pain.
It does
nothing. And a little bit of itch for a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
When I had poison sumac all up both arms and up my neck and other places it shouldn't have been, I fought that stuff for a week with the topical, and it was not hardly putting a dent in it. I'm like, nope, not working. Need something better. So now from here on out, I eat a pill. Just take it pill form. Done.
Nice.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I don't know, man. Like I said, we'll see how it goes this season, which is the name of our show. We're going to have to call it something else this next year. We got Jace will be following us around here and there. We'll have to do some self-filming again to fill the gaps and be diligent about that. If you guys don't mind, we got GoPros and all that stuff. So hopefully we get a couple things captured. It's always fun to have some good commentary. One thing I learned from Jace when doing the self-filming stuff is to always like have your beginning, middle, end to like, this is where I am and this is what I'm doing, or this is my situation that I'm encountering, or this is how it's going so far and this is how it went. And without those things, it's just, you have no frame of reference as a viewer. Well, what day is it? What happened today? Oh, my wife actually told me I could go hunt today. She was the one that said it. And now I'm on my way to go hunt this public property that I've been to once. And it's freezing, or the wind's doing the wrong thing. And then you check in later. Oh, yeah, the wind's totally ass backwards and I am freezing, but I'm happy to be out here. And how did it go? It ended. Hey, I got one, or whatever, or I didn't, or I saw one. Those are all critical points to capture, and then anything else is just B-roll stuff that maybe like will make the cut or not. I don't know. Jace is pretty conservative about what makes the cut if he's trying to fit that story narrative or whatever that ends up being, which is The Office. We're The Office show of the hunting world. That's how I think that's how it is. That's how it came out to be, which is the
goal. It's gonna be.
How many
broadheads? We didn't choose it. It chose us.
It chose us.
That's right.
Greg, how many broadheads have you sharpened?
Two. It's a timely process, man.
Yeah, it's been an hour. You've only sharpened two?
Over this
Holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
30
minutes. What broadheads are you sharpening?
So this is a Grizzly Stick Samurai. This is a single bevel, so it's got nice straight edges. It's pretty easy. I just took it to a smoother piece of leather just to see how much more sharp I could get it. And then the other one is the Ill Silver Flame XL. That one, because it's got that radiused edge on it, that one takes a little bit more skill in learning how to follow the edge. So I've been actually working with a real narrow piece of leather on that and a fine stone. Kind of went and worked it with the fine stone, hit it with the leather. Still wasn't get what I wanted out of it, so I hit it with the fine stone again. Now I'm going to go back to leather. We'll see how it goes.
And those shoot pretty good for you so far? Like, have you shot with broadheads on
that? Yeah, I was surprised. I mean, you see how wide this XL is?
It's a big cut.
Yeah, 35 yards, I can plunk a bullseye, no problem with it.
Wow.
I was quite surprised. And, yeah, it's a vented head, but it doesn't make a ton of noise. So it'll be like throwing a very sharp hatchet through a deer.
Is there a bleeder on there or no?
No. Grizzly Stick does not do bleeders at all. And as much as we want to say it's kind of wrong to not do so, they had plenty of success without bleeders. We're going to find out. I'm hoping to run one of these two through a doe this weekend.
Hell yeah. Sounds there weird hearing that this weekend, but that's what it's going to be.
We're finally here.
That's what it's so going to be.
Well, hopefully everyone that tuned in, I don't know if we had any value that we've given you on today's episode as we just are shooting the shit about ourselves here. But hopefully you're excited. Your season may have started depending on what state you're in, or it's about to start, or it's going to start soon thereafter. And we're here. This is it. Like, this is it. What's what we've been waiting for? Like, this is it, you know? Yeah, I'm going to fuck up the whole thing with my wife. I'm going to totally jack that up. It's not going to go well. I'm probably going to make some major mistake there. Everything I said in the beginning, throw it out the window. I'm already getting all jacked up. It's going to be a problem. Yeah.
2 weeks. I'll give you 2 weeks before you say I have to go.
Yeah. Well, the other thing too, by the way, with the gear is that we got these, we got the solo canoe and we got the paddler kayak thing. Was that the?
It's a paddler. It's the PDL 120.
Yeah, the PDL 120. You can pedal on it.
Which with water conditions around here is not going to be very.
Just don't bring the paddler part. Just don't even take it with you. You can still kayak with it just like a kayak.
But just make sure when you pull the pedals out, you keep your cell phone stowed away somewhere where it's not going to drop down the pedal hole.
Did you do that?
Serious? No.
All right.
But I can see it happening.
I've got the Zolo canoe at my house currently. I grabbed it from Matt to run back to you, but I forgot we weren't doing podcasts this week.
That thing's been whoring around. It's great. It's pretty light. What is it like?
I think it's only
like 40 pounds.
Yeah, somewhere in there. It's pretty nice, nice little boat.
It's a canoe that's the size of a kayak, and you sit in it, not on it. Like the canoe, you're kind of up on a bench a little bit higher up. You're kind of in this thing with a nice backrest chair, and it's pretty maneuverable. It's camouflage. It's very nice. Derek, you should try it out.
A kayak style chair in it.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it.
I really love the water access stuff, guys. So like that's the other part of this setup this year that I'm excited to see. Like, how am I gonna fit all the stuff in there? Where's it all gonna go? Because that's a new thing. I've never used these pieces of equipment before. I have my giant ass old town canoe that I've had forever. That my father-in-law, I don't know how I got it, but it just ended up staying here. I think he wanted one of his yard anymore. Now it's mine. I think I'm not really sure if it's mine or his, but it's here and I've used it. It was on the video last, you know, the we'll see how it goes season one. I had, that's what you saw. Just a regular old canoe, but these other ones are smaller. So they're interesting. That's all I got. We can wrap up. It's a Sunday night. We're pre-recording for Tuesday. So we're all going to go to work tomorrow.
Yes, we are.
Yay. Hopefully all my kids are healthy.
Yeah, I hope those kids get over whatever they got pretty quick, man. That sucks.
Yep, birthday September. went down the pooper pretty quick with the fevers running amok. But hopefully everyone stays healthy for the opener. And have fun. Good luck.
Good luck out there, guys.